You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
So we've been discussing the voice of God from the beginning of the years about things that we should stop, start, and continue. But it's very important for us to hear the voice of God so we really know if it's Him speaking or not, how important that is. So we've been talking about that. Then we had Fabian a couple weeks ago. How many enjoyed having Fabian here in our first bilingual service? Fantastic. And then Pastor Mark was last week. So hearing the voice of God really wraps around a theology about the Holy Spirit. So I want to go the next 2 weeks to talk about my best friend, the Holy Spirit, for a couple weeks. And then we'll start a new series that will lead us into Easter. Jesus first introduced the concept of His departure and a new era of the Holy Spirit. And it's found in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And this is what He said to His disciples during their Last Supper. Says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And you might be saying right now, did Pastor Lloyd just go to the whatever the festival they call it, the Old English Festival, Renaissance Festival? Perhaps he just went to that because it sounds a little weird. This is the King James Version of the Bible. That's the version that I learned the Scripture in. When I was young, this is what I memorized. And said, when the Father said, I'm going to leave, Jesus said, I'm going to leave you the Comforter. And when I think of Comforter, I think of somebody's there when I'm to help me, when I'm not feeling well, if I'm sick and they're bad on the back, or I don't know why I get this mental picture of just a comforter on a bed. You know, just that sort of that comforter, and that's how I think. So I didn't know when I got married that there is actually a comforter rule. I don't know if you knew this. There's a comforter rule. Women know the comforter rule. But men are not taught the comforter rule. And the comforter rule goes something like this. I've done web searches, and you can't find it, so I'm going to give it to you today. It's comforters are just there for show, and they're not to be used. I didn't know that when we got married. So we went out, and of course it was on sale. We bought this really, really nice comforter, and we put it on the bed. It looked so nice, and I couldn't wait that night because I was going to get there. I was going to snuggle up with the comforter. It was going to be so comforting. You know, that's what I thought, right? So my wife goes, she goes, let me go prepare the room. And she goes in the bedroom, and I come in, and I said, somebody stole our comforter. Because it isn't there. And she goes, no, it isn't. It's over there. And it was wrapped up in this neat little nice thing so that tomorrow we could put the comforter back on. And it's sort of like throw pillows, right? They're there, but they're not to be used. They're to be seen and not used. And I didn't know the rule. And I didn't realize when we got married, there's a lot of rules that I didn't know about things like this. And if you're a single man sitting here right now, you should be writing notes. I mean, you should be taking down every note, everything that I'm saying. You should be typing into your phone, whatever that is. You should be writing this stuff down because I didn't know it. Nobody told me, and I was confused. In fact, any single men here want to acknowledge it? Okay. Any single women here? No, I'm just kidding. I even have for you, this is a thank you card. Because when I get done with this, you're gonna want to thank me. And so it is addressed to me already, and I know it has a stamp. There you go. And you can just write a little note in there when I'm done with this lesson. If you want to put a gift card in there to Texas Roadhouse, that's fine too. But you just take that and you just put it in the mail. Because there are some other rules. I'm going to tell you another rule, okay? Guest towels. I didn't know the guest towel rule. And one day I got out of the shower and there was not a towel there, so I just went over like you do, you run over, and I grabbed a towel and I wrapped it around me, and my wife came in and said, what do you think you're doing? And I was wet, I just got out of the shower, and I grabbed the towel. She goes, no you didn't, you grabbed a guest towel. Now are you a guest? No. Would you like to be treated like a guest? Because the guest sleep in another room. I'm like, I don't want to be a guest. And she goes, then I would put that towel on and get another towel. Because guest towels are what? They're the nicest towels you own. And they're for guests. Now, anybody who know me and know my wife know that I've embellished that story just a little bit. And I've never slept in the guest bedroom, and she never even She's a wonderful, but we did have the guest talk conversation. Many Christians, many Christians talk about the Holy Spirit the same way. He looks nice. It sounds nice. I got a great theology about it, but it's just a throw pillow. It's something nice that we look at. It's a conversation piece. Someone they never really engage with. And he's a comforter, yeah, when things go bad and when I need him, I'll call on him. But today I want to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He's so much more than that. I want to look at another version and read the same passage. This is the NIV, which is what we usually use, New International Version. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another. And the word in the NIV is advocate. But this word that's used here in the Greek language is used for all these terms throughout the New Testament. I will give you an advocate, a comforter, a counselor, an encourager, a strengthener, an instructor. I'm giving all this to you. Now listen, to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. And the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. And that sets you apart from anybody else in this world, that the Holy Spirit has been given to you. Now listen to this. Listen to this. But you, he's talking to his disciples, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. This is the mystery of the Trinity that it's often hard to understand, but this is very important for you to understand. The disciples are sitting there for 3.5 years. They spent their time with Jesus. And Jesus is saying this, you know the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you live with him. He's me. And there will be a day that God, the Holy Spirit, will live in you. And you know all about him because you've seen my life. You want to know what he's like? Just look at me. You want to know what the Father's like? Look at me. We're all one. And so just like our relationship has been for the last 3.5 years, it'll be the same relationship that you will have when the Holy Spirit comes in you and on you. And the Holy Spirit was never meant to be defined. It was never meant to be a theology. He was meant to be discovered. It was a relationship. I don't know if you've ever played the game with somebody. If you could choose another time period to live in, what period of time would you live in? And I always thought it'd be cool to be one of the disciples, to live in that time period. Not Judas, of course, but one of the other ones. And I could just imagine me sort of walking up and Jesus saying, what's wrong, man? And I go, man, when we were playing sand volleyball on the beaches of the Sea of Galilee, I sort of tweaked my knee. And Jesus said, yeah, come over here and just, whew, how's that feel? Brand new. It's awesome. That feels good. I that'd be great, man. Jesus, man, I just did my taxes. I don't know if you just did your taxes. And I owe money. Not a problem. Go out to Lake Pleasant, throw out a line, reel it in. There's going to be a fish with all the tax money right there. I'm like, I like this. I like this way this is going, right? Go up to one of my friends. You want to meet Jesus? I know him. I'll introduce you. See, I would think that would be so cool. But Jesus said this. This is a better time than that was. Because the Holy Spirit will be with you and in you. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you. So wherever you go, he will be. There'll never be a moment that you'll be away from God, the Holy Spirit. This one revelation would totally impact your spiritual journey. God doesn't reside in a building or an experience, in a moment or in a system. He resides in you. He is a relationship, not a religion. He is a discovery, not a definition. And here's the problem. When it comes to God, the Holy Spirit, we prefer a definition or a theology. And if anyone should never have a definition, it is God, the Holy Spirit. Listen to how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. And Jesus answered, verse 5, very truly I tell you, no one can enter to the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And that's a word that we all need to hold close to our heart. I'm so glad Pastor Mark last week gave time to honor Billy Graham and just the work that he did. His legacy will go down as one of the greatest evangelists the world has ever known. And that was his message. You must be born again. And that's what the scripture says here. We have come to a decision that we have decided that we're going to be born anew into the Spirit of God. And then he's talking about the Spirit. He goes, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So Jesus begins to give a definition of the Spirit. And he says, it's just like the wind. It's just all over the place. We know the wind in Arizona. When the monsoons come blowing in and it's just everything's gets rocked around and things begin to happen and the wind's blowing. And we understand this concept. And he says, the Spirit of God that's in you, it's like the wind. It's unpredictable. He can do whatever he wants to do at any time that he wants to do it. And the question is this, are you going to allow that? Because he is a gentleman. So are you going to allow him to be that way in your life? The day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, they knew less about the Holy Spirit than you do. We have a much more advanced theology. No one was coaching them. All they knew to do was wait. Wait on the Holy Spirit, and boom, there's this fire in their heads, and they're speaking in tongues, and people are getting saved. Philip, in Acts chapter 8, had no idea about the Holy Spirit. Nobody ever taught him about it. He just heard through Jesus. There was no class that he took. But the angel told him to go home a different way, and he went home a different way, and he meets this Ethiopian man who's looking at the Bible and doesn't understand it. So Philip goes up and explains the scripture to him. And at that place, that man became born again. He gave his life to following after Jesus. And he got into water and baptized him. And the scripture says, as soon as he got out of the water, Philip was transported somewhere else. Whew. That's crazy stuff. He didn't really have a great theology on the Holy Spirit yet. He just knew to listen and to obey. There was no formula, no training. He didn't have a clue. You know more about the Holy Spirit now than Philip did, but he's the one doing space travel. And if there was a formula, I would want to find out, because that would be so cool to be able to transport myself somewhere else. Here's my point. Could it be that we need more experience in the ways of the Holy Spirit, not more knowledge? Could it be that we've replaced intelligence for practice? And let me tell you a secret about these guys. They daily sought and obeyed the Holy Spirit every day. And freaky things happened. Better word for that is supernatural things happened. Things beyond the natural world. They didn't have a Bible study. Aren't you glad they didn't have a Bible study on the day of Pentecost? Let's sit down and study now. They just waited. And said, we're not going to do anything until the Holy Spirit comes. And our goal every day is to follow, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, I want it all. I want to hear your voice. I want to walk in the Spirit, and I want to be obedient. And I understand that you have placed your Spirit in me. I don't seek an experience. I seek the Holy Spirit. And this is where I differ. I don't run after all the craziness. I run after Jesus. He's the one my heart desires, not what he can do for me. And in my pursuit, if something miraculous happens outside of my grid, outside of my definition, so be it. I refuse to manufacture it, and I refuse to deny it. In Ecuador, I don't remember if I ever finished this story, but it was great to have Fabi on there. But before we went, just a side note, he had a dream one night. He reminded me of it when he was here. We're driving up to the Grand Canyon. And they were very Ecuadorian. There's just no sense of time. And so a storm is blowing in, and we were up there, and I said, I'm leaving at 9 o'clock, whether or not you're in the car, okay? We're going to be American right now, because we got to beat this storm. So we got up there. They got 15 minutes on the Grand Canyon, and then the storm blew in. And they'd never been in a snowstorm. So they got to see the Grand Canyon, and then all of a sudden they're throwing snowball fights on the ridge of the Grand Canyon. And I'm like, you know what? I know you walk in the Spirit, but perhaps we could walk a little closer this way in the Spirit, not so close. But all of a sudden, it took me an hour to get there from Williams. It took me 2.5 hours to get back in the snow. He reminded me of the story that before Alan, myself, and Aaron came to Ecuador, he had a dream that three important men were going to walk through the door soon. He told his whole congregation, then that afternoon, he got a call from Cuenca, where the main church is, and says, these three pastors feel like they're supposed to come be with you guys. Is that okay? And since then, we've had this amazing relationship. I spoke, it was November of 2016, I think, when we first went. That sounds about right. And I spoke in the Cuenca church. And as I'm done speaking, over on this side, there's this man that comes running down the aisle and just sort of a head-first slide into the altar, like he's sliding into second base. And he starts crying. And then translator turns to me and goes, "Wow, that's been a long time coming." And this man's pouring out, crying out his heart to God. It was the first service. And it was a powerful thing. He gave his life to Christ. Well, when we went back, was last July? We went back last July. I'm in the cafe, and this woman comes up to me. She goes, "I have to talk to you." I go, "Okay." She goes, "I was so mad at you at first." I go, "Why?" She goes, "For 10 years, I've been praying that my husband will come to faith in Christ. For 10 years, I sat there and waited and prayed and prayed. And he would go to church with me occasionally, but he'd get upset with me afterwards, but for the sake of the children, he would go. And I wasn't there when you spoke last time at first service. And he came down and gave his life to God, and I wasn't there." And she said, "God just spoke to my heart and said, you've been listening to me. You've been praying for this man. You've been humble and gracious for 10 years. And the prayer was answered. And I looked down, and guess what? I looked down, and there was this bump here. And she was pregnant. She was about 6 months pregnant. She goes, "We're having a child, number one. And number two, we now run a ministry here in the church together." That's supernatural. That's God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to somebody in a powerful way in the middle of a service where a woman who stood for 10 years and prayed and prayed and believed, and God answers that prayer. That's what I'm talking about, is allowing the Holy Spirit to just come in and have full control of our lives. I have two daughters. I'm their father. I love them both. I love to hang out with them both and spend quality time with them. I discipline them both because I love them. But it has been a total different journey for each person, for each one of them. They both come to love me as their father, but the pathways have been so different. You know this if you have several children that have grown up. They had to experience me as their father for themselves. And I would never tell anybody I found the recipe or the formula on how to love and raise a daughter. That would be foolish. There's concepts, you know, there's pathways. But they need to be discovered each in a unique and special way. And that is the same way that the Father looks at you and the God, the Holy Spirit, is in you. That's why I can't give you a formula. I can't give you a certain way. You have got to allow the Holy Spirit to speak and work in your life and be receptive to what He wants to do. I'm going to return to John chapter 14 and read you a couple of verses here. Verse 26, Jesus continued the conversation from the beginning of John chapter 14. He says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I said to you." He's going to teach you all things and remind you. And then I've never made this connection, but I was making it when I was reading this week. He's going to teach you all things and remind you of everything I said, and peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and not be afraid. And I was reading this and I said, perhaps the reason they have peace is because they've opened themselves up to God, the Holy Spirit, to teach them all things and remind him of everything that Jesus had said. That kind of life brings security. It brings peace. And you lack fear. These guys had a tough night. The Last Supper, Jesus reveals that Judas is going to betray him. He reveals that Peter is going to deny him. Then Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And he proceeds, if you were to follow through this, he proceeds to tell them that the world's going to hate them and that they're going to be arrested. And his answer is, if you fully embrace the Holy Spirit, later on, no matter what happens, you'll have what? Peace. And you'll lack fear. And these men, later on, were willing to lay down their life for God in full peace, because they embraced the Holy Spirit. And when the theology of the Holy Spirit becomes more than just a definition, more than just a throw pillow or a comforter, when the Holy Spirit becomes a relationship, when we realize that walking in the Holy Spirit is the same as walking with Jesus, something natural, supernatural, I'm sorry, happens. So Sunday I could teach you how to be a better spouse or how to manage your finances and how to raise your kids and systems that if you followed, and they're biblical, bring a sense of security, but you better be perfect. Because if you mess those up and your system is broken, guess what happens? Fear and anxiety begins to rule. Or on Sundays, I could challenge you to live a life in full relationship with the Holy Spirit where He guides you and He directs your every step. And it may be a little bit freaky at times, and it may be supernatural, and it might be outside of your box and your definition. It may make you feel uncomfortable, but I'll tell you this. I've learned it'll make you feel secure and at peace because you're walking in the ways of God, and you won't be afraid. Because life will not rest solely on your protection and your ability to understand. It will rest on His mercy and His grace and His relationship. So here's my request. For the next couple weeks, will you just drop all the stereotypes? I don't care what background you come from. Drop them. Drop all the prejudices. All your definitions of how and where and when God the Holy Spirit should act. And just seek after Him. And allow Him to mold you and to shape you into what God has created you to be. Would you stand with me? Today we're going to have the worship team come forward. And in prayer, if you would join me, and you feel just this unction to make this declaration with me. Holy Spirit, I want to apologize for the times that I have controlled you. And I've put you in a box. And I've defined you. Because you're not definable. And I give you permission right now to just move outside of whatever I think you're supposed to be. I give you permission to just take my definition and throw it away. To break down the walls that I've made. And it's better to follow with you than it is to try it on my own. So I give you full permission. I open my heart up completely. I am yours. Move in me. Speak to me. Guide me and direct me. And I promise to be obedient. And that's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.